Today we have a wonderful privilege of hearing from our very own Pastor Peter Wong. He is not in an official role here at our church, but he is a member of our church, and he does a lot of ministry in large countries next to Taiwan, and he does a lot of ministry here in Taiwan also. And you might see him kind of in and out of our church because he has a lot of speaking engagements. But he has a lot of years of ministry experience, and he's a dear friend of mine. We meet every week, actually, for accountability, and it's been really wonderful just to meet with him and just to keep each other accountable. And so why don't we welcome Pastor Peter Wong to deliver God's word today.
Good morning. Okay, there we go. How are things going for everybody? I've been traveling, like Peter said, and I came back about a week ago. I expect Taiwan in the summer to be hot, like drenching hot, right? But then when I came back, I realized it's been raining. Last week it's been wet, but it's just not as hot as I thought, right? There are things that we expect, you expect, going through life. And I have to tell you, my mom is the one lucky lady. You know why? She comes to Taiwan to live with me for 6 months, eating all the good Chinese food, Taiwanese food that she used to growing up. And then she says, it's getting hot in Taiwan. Let me go back and move back to my brother's house in San Francisco Bay Area. Which is very nice. And as you know, and I believe it's Mark Twain said this, right? The coldest winter was summer in San Francisco, right? It was that cool. I mean, San Francisco typically is a very nice and cool place. And then I just found out this Monday when she flew back home to my brother's house in San Francisco that it was 95 Fahrenheit, which is like 37 degrees over there. And my brother's multi-million dollar homes air conditioning was broken, and she proceeds to get a heat stroke, you know, and the heat, she really went into the emergency room. So you can pray for her, and she recovered, thank God. But it just tells you that sometimes what we plan for don't work out, you know. She thought she was going to go back to San Francisco Bay Area for a little away from heat. But what do you expect in life? What do you expect in life? What if, you know, and this is the end of semester, how many of you just finished school? How many? A lot of you, right? How many of you, if you get your report card and it looks like this, and you're like, oh no, oh, it's all over, I can't go home now. Ooh, I'm so ashamed. My parents will disown me, right? Come on, you guys heard about this, the great reporting system works in Asian culture. A means acceptable. B means below average, right? C means catastrophe, right? We won't talk about D and F, right? It's really bad, okay? All right, so maybe some of your parents are like, oh, I saved up all this money for my kids to go to really good private universities in United States. They're not going to make it there. Let's just blow it off on a vacation instead, right? All right, next. Maybe you are one of those people that graduated. And you're expecting, yes, I graduated from a good school in Taiwan. I expect to find a job. I expect to find a good job, high-paying job, a job that will notice my special talents and skills, and just I can just exercise my God-given talent. And then 2 weeks into it, you'll come back and look for counseling from Pastor Peter. Don't look for counseling for me. I won't be around, but this guy, okay? And then you will say, Pastor Peter, I worked for 2 weeks And then my boss, they just tell me to go make coffee and tea. And that's all I end up doing and reading manual, right? Whatever, internship. And guess what? Friends, if you just graduated, the first job you're going to get, that's most likely what you're going to end up doing for the first 6 months anyway. So get used to it, okay? Maybe you need to adjust your expectation. All right, next. Then, oh, this is like so Taiwanese, right? Maybe you're just looking to expect to find a Mr. or Mrs. Right to get married. And you expect to live happy ever after. Whoa, boy, I'm so sorry to tell you. Your honeymoon glow is going to fade after maybe 6 months. If you're lucky, a year, right? And then you're really going to find out who that other person is. Maybe. Next. Yeah. That's when I remember my daughter when she was 6 years old. Oh, so great. You thought, you know, you're going to have a little child. It's going to be all wonderful. Now, instead, I got this 11-year-old, almost 12-year-old. Oh, she's not here, so I can say this. You know, talking with mommy and daddy. That's all you get. Friends, you know, a lot of times you expect something out of life and then some reality turns out to be something else. You know what I'm talking about? The reality of life is very real and it's not what you expected. What if you're a person like this? There's a picture I taken long, long time ago on my short-term missions back in the 90s. This person is not lame from birth. We're going to read a person's story, lame from birth, but this person is probably handicapped afterwards. What if this is your life? This morning, we're going to read a story from the scripture from Acts chapter 3. And that is going to tell us how God can address our real issues. Let's pray together. Father, we want to come before you this morning. We want to say we want to embrace your solution for us. God, may your grace surprise us with real solutions in our lives. And God, we want to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, your problems will intimidate you to expect less from God. That is reality. And this is what happened to this lame person. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeking Peter and John, about to go into the temple, and he asked to receive some alms. All right, friends. So what is going on here? This is a very common situation, right? You have a lame beggar who's lame from birth. Okay, just when you're born, I mean, other babies are learning to crawl. Other toddlers are learning to walk. He can never do that. He's just lame from birth. Handicapped from birth. If you're lame in an agrarian society, a farming society, during Jesus' time, is it possible for you to go down to the farm to work? No. If you can't work in the farm, can you make an honest living? No. If you can't make an honest living, can you expect to get married, to have a wife during that time? No. If you can have a wife at that time, can you have a kid? No. All those things that you and I, we might be expecting of having an honest job, starting a family, having kids? We probably can't. This guy cannot expect that. We want to tell you a little story about describing a little bit of the temple and the background of the context of the time and how this lame beggar is laying in front this gate called Beautiful Gate. And why is this important? I want to help you understand a little bit that you, as you know, Jerusalem was built upon a hill. And there are many psalms in the psalm that says, describing songs of ascension. That means that they are basically people who are trying to make offerings, going to the festivals. They will try to trek up to the road of Jerusalem. And you have to understand, at that time, Jerusalem, you know, temple built on another hill, on a hill. And Beautiful Gate is this main gate that if you are going to walk into the temple and worship God, that you have to go through. Most of the people have to go through, and then they kind of flow out on the side doors. This beautiful gate is the main gate of the temple on the highest point of Jerusalem. And on top of it, according to archaeologists, that there were bronze kind of covering over it. And back then, you have to realize there are not that many metal objects. And this thing is shining. Right? If you, nowadays, you take airplanes, you can see shiny stuff up, right? But back then, there were very few things that's shiny. So you have this shining object attracting people, ascending, singing songs, going up to Jerusalem, getting ready. Did you know how many people live in Jerusalem during Jesus' time, during Paul's time? It's about 30,000 to 50,000. Little city. But during the festival, during big festival, Jewish festival, like Passover, it'll go up to 200 to 250,000. And can you imagine, that 200,000 people comes just to worship God and the people that kind of walks through this beautiful gate? Walks through this beautiful gate. And what are they doing? To worship God. How many of us here have any real estate background? Real estate agents? Nobody? Out of all these people. How many of you might invest in real estate? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. We know you're rich, okay? All right. So if you invest in real estate, I can tell you secrets of being a real estate investor. And they are the same as for you to become a successful beggar. So either way you want to pick, you want to be a successful real estate agent or successful beggar, it's a three-word secret. Okay? You might want to take this down. Location, location, location. Some of you know already. Oh, you're told us you're a real estate investor right there. Okay. Why? Because just as in real estate, you want a place that has a lot of people traveling through so you can have a storefront rental, right? You can get higher rent because of that. It's the same thing for beggars. Would you go beg in the middle of nowhere? In a tropical forest? No. You don't do that, right? You go beg, and I was actually this Friday, I just happened to have an appointment in Taipei Main Station. As I walk by there, you see beggars right outside. Why? That's where most people congregates, right? Most traffic congregates, flows through it. This is very strategic for beggars, for you to station right in front of the temple gate, okay? 200,000 people moving in and out. And guess what? Right before they're going into the temple, a temple, nevertheless, this is not Taipei Main Station. Why is this even more strategic for beggar? It's because, hey, you think you and I, we're going to go worship God now. And if we give alms, if we give money to the beggar, we will probably kind of make ourselves feel a little better. Like, hey, before we go to the temple, we're going to give some money. And you see, we're good people, right? We're not so bad. Very strategic place. So, giving money right in the temple, he's stationed right there, right in the front. But friends, do you realize that as he is sitting there, and what we find out is that he, in fact, has some friends that would take him to carry him to the temple every day. And thank God for that, he has good friends. But as he sits right in front of the temple begging for money, the pictures that he sees are the pictures just like you and I this morning walking into church. We put on our Sunday best. We're walking with our kids. And if our kids are not behaving, we're like, hey, behave better. We're going to church, right? We're putting everything the best in front of everybody else, and we're walking to church, and this is the same. He's sitting right in front of the beautiful gate, 200,000 people, family. The thing that he can never have. Beautiful clothes. Things that he can never have. Wife. Never have. Little kids jumping up and down. He can never enjoy. As he sees all those things every single day that he cannot have. He just cannot obtain. This is not possible. It's out of his expectation for life. It reduces him. It punches him. It goes, you know what? All you can have and all you can expect is hand out your money. Hand out your hands. Expect people out of their charity on their way to chapel, maybe out of their guilty conscience, drop a few coins to you. That's all you can expect. And that's all you'll ever have in life. What a sad story. What a sad story. Friends, this morning I want to kind of notify all of us. I want to bring to your attention that, in fact, we are no different from this lame beggar. We are no different from this lame beggar. Maybe your situation is not going to cause you to beg people for just a few coins, 100 NT for lunch. But the reality is that our problems in life have punched us over and over to make us expect less and less from God. To expect less and less from God. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? There are things that have happened in your life, in your family, in your career, in your schooling, that kind of just makes us shrink and shrink and shrink, and we start to expect less and less from God. I had a distant relative. She could have retired many, many years ago. She could have retired many years ago, but she didn't, and she keeps on working, and she was known to be the ice cream kind of chain store kind of, you know, owner in the northeast of Connecticut. And she owns like Haagen-Dazs and Baskin-Robbins. And I used to work in her ice cream store during the summertime, during my high school years. And why can't she stop working? And recently I met up and she actually said, as she reflects upon her life, she said, you know, when I was 10 years old, my father left my mother. And a couple years later, my mother was so seriously depressed and went to a mental breakdown, never recovered. At 14, she started working and taking care of six of her younger siblings. All she knows in her life is that she needs to make money, money and more money, in order for her to feel secure about herself, about the situation of her family. And she just can't stop. And she will work until she was so tired that she couldn't even drive home from her ice cream store to her house because she was making ice cream cake. I mean, at one point in the 90s, I remember she was a great artist. She can, you can give her a picture of Superman and she'll put it on the ice cream cake. And she just couldn't stop. Because more money is what's going to provide her security. Friends, we are no different from this lame beggar. Because we have problems in our lives that kept on going, and we come up with solutions that we think that's going to solve our own problem. This lame beggar thought, if I just beg and have a few more coins, and it's going to solve my problem. And we think the same. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's something else. I don't know if you remember when you were younger. I'm starting to sing, you know, because I'm starting to almost have a teenage child in my house. But I remember when I was a teenager, I had a lot of pimples. And I remember having some pictures that my brother took of me, having some OxyTan, you know, some treatment, right? Those white powder thing, whatever, right? I remember I had going through some rituals every single day to get rid of those pimples. You understand what I'm talking about? And maybe some of you beauty queens out there, you guys might have way more elaborate, you know, facial cleaning solutions and process that you're going through. But then what you're doing is we are stuck making our own solutions. And we're saying, you know what? If I'm going to have this pimple on my face, I'm not going to get a prom date, right? No girls are going to like me. And so we come up with some kind of solutions and we work on ourselves. But the root of the problem is we're just insecure about our looks. Isn't that true? We're just insecure. And a lot of times what happens is that we're stuck with making our solution works because we come up with a solution and we stick with it and we're going to work harder on it and we're going to make it happen. And we don't have time for anything else. And we don't have time to think what really is a problem. What really is a problem? Because our problems in life punch us, hits us, and makes us have less an expectation from God. It just intimidates us to expect less. So, the reality is, do you expect less from God because all these problems in your life? What are some things that you rely on to solve your problem? It might be money. Money is the most obvious answer for a lot of people. But it could be some cleaning ritual. It could be some, you know, issues that you have, and you say, you know, only if I have a car, then I can attract girls and girls will like me. Only if I study harder, I have a great, you know, good grades and graduate from a prestigious school, then I can get a good job. And you're stuck with that solution that you come up with for yourself, but you have something deeper that needs to be solved, that needs to be touched by God. Could there be some other ways that your problems could be solved? If God sees you, what would He offer? Friends, I want to tell you, in our culture, Buddhism have solutions for those issues as well. But they have a very different solution from ours. All right? Buddhism says, if you have a problem, too bad, your past life made it happen. You're a bad person from last life. That's why you have all these bad things happening in your life. Buddhism says, you know, so that's why if that's you can avoid it, what do they say? They say, you know, you just got to cope with it. Then you just intentionally lower your expectation for life. Or just don't have any expectation. In fact, that's what they're seeking for, right? There's no attachment. No. Then, hey, too bad. It just happened. It just happened. Great. But Christianity, Christ, the gospel tells you something very different. It says that God's grace can surprise you. God's grace can surprise you with much, much more. And we can read on. In Acts chapter 3, verse 4, the Word of God says, "And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up as he stood up and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Wow, what a story, isn't it? You have a story where the lame beggar just going through his routines, begging for money, hoping for some coins, finding lunch. Wow, what did he get? He gets total transformation, right? He gets total healing. Total healing. Total healing. Friends, if this lame beggar from birth is totally healed, is it possible that he can go back to the field and work? Possible. Even though he's old, he'll probably be slower than other people, but possible. We'll find out later on, this guy is 40-some years old. Chapter 3. Is it possible that if he can find an honorable job, that he can have a family? It's possible. Difficult, but possible. If you have a family, is it possible to have children out of this family? Possible. Friends, if God's grace is in our lives, anything and everything is possible. Anything and everything is possible if God's grace is in our lives. All right, coming back to this lame beggar. I want to tell you how big of a surprise this is. Next slide, please. If you know anything about beggars, any kind of beggars, and I would like to think I have some working relationship. Many, many years ago, when I was a college student, I'm a graduate of UC Berkeley. Any Bears over here? Well, go Bears. All right. Go Bears. And with our InterVarsity chapter, we work with a lot of homeless people on Telegraph Avenue. One summer, we work with them, the whole summer. Okay? So, beggars. One thing that you would know about beggars is that they're so shameful about their situation that they're unable to work, right? They can't hold a consistent job. Most of the time, they have their eyes down, and they will not look at you when they're begging for money. If you see a lame beggar that comes up to you and say, "Yo, give me some money," that's not a beggar, that's a robber, okay? Make sure you got the definition correctly, okay? They're robbing you, they're not begging from you. All right, so you have this group of lame beggars right outside the beautiful gate. They're all there, they're just looking down. And when Peter and John go up to this one particular lame beggar, and they fix their eyes on him, he's starting to have more interaction. And most of the time, by the way, if you're just giving, you're just kind of passing by, take out some coins, bang. Never have eye contact, right? But once they are starting to fix his eye on him, and they said, what did they say? They said, "Look at us." Peter or John actually told the beggar to look at them, right? If you're the lame beggar, this is what you're thinking. What you're thinking is, ooh, he's telling us to look at him. This guy is not going to drop, you know, 10 NT, some coins. It might be a dollar. It's like a $100 bill. Or maybe he's really, really, it's two of them. Maybe $500 bill. Maybe they're super generous. Maybe they're feeling super guilty today. Maybe they did something really bad and need to confess to God, and they're trying to pay back God, and maybe it's going to be a $1,000 bill. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, you have a person that's giving alms, is really trying to make personal connection now with a lame beggar. This beggar is expecting a lot more. That's reality. A lot more of what he expects. What he expects. What do you expect? Money. And more of it. More of it. I hope you will see the disappointing face of this beggar when Peter and John says, in other translation, silver and gold I do not have. All right, if you're a fan of the Chinese kung fu genre like I am, you will know, in the Chinese kung fu genre, the beggars, they have their own alliances called Gai Bang, right? And they have this very famous kung fu story. It's, you know, especially within this Gai Bang, it's called Xiang Long Spa Zang. It's like, right? If this guy is Chinese beggar, he would just slap Peter and John with that special kung fu skill, right? That's the reality, friends. This is so disappointing. And so, you know, how can you stoop down, tell us to look at you, and then you tell me, haha, money and silver and gold we don't have. Friends, a lot of times, you and I, when we're stuck in our problems, and we come up with a set of solutions like this beggar, only just a few coins, some money can give me lunch, dinner. We have come up with solutions that we said, we only want the solution. And when we go ask God, and God tells you, no, I don't have what you are asking for, we get very disappointed. We get very disappointed. We go to God, and we say, next slide, that maybe our circumstances, maybe the things that we are asking, we think is going to solve our problems, just more of it. Just more of it. Then our problems will be solved. But is it true? Oh, only if my house is bigger, then all my, you know, five kids can have their own room, then they will never fight again. That's what we think is going to happen, but they're going to fight regardless if you live in a mansion or live in a one-bedroom apartment. Oh, only if I have nicer things, nicer clothes, nice car, nice place to live, then I can attract some beautiful women that will like me. Trust me, you don't want girls who like you because you have nice things. Those are called gold diggers, okay? Friends, so often we just think that the outside circumstances, the solutions that we already come up with, and we just say it, we tell God, we say, God, just give me more of that. Our problems will be solved. Our problem will be solved. But what if that is not the real, total transformation, healing that God wants to actually give it to you? And before he can give it to you, he can tell you, he has to tell you, no, whatever you are looking for, it's not here in this church. Whatever you're looking for that you think is a real solution to your life is not what I will offer you. That is a total healing from your inside out. Can you accept that? What are you going to do with that? Because this lame beggar, even though he was disappointed that Peter and John could not offer what he asked for, but he was so surprised because God's grace is so much more than he can imagine. Can you imagine God's real solution for your life? Friends, next slide, please. You might hear some prosperity gospel out there. And there are some interesting stories I have heard recently. A friend of mine, he is kind of, he's dating, and his relative, he's came back to Taiwan for a short vacation. His aunt kind of fixed him up with a quote-unquote Christian, ex-model. And she went out with this girl, and he came back and told me some funny story, interesting story. What he said? He said that, yeah, this model is very interesting. She said that she's a Christian, she went to church, and she said that the reason why she went to church is because the pastor promised that if you go to church and ask God, then you can be young forever, you can look good forever. And this obviously looking good, looking young is very important for this young model lady. Friends, this is not gospel. I'm sorry. What they're offering is just basically what you and I were searching for, the solution that we can come up ourselves. What? Money. We think that we have more money, then everything will be set. But friends, you can have more money but feel insecure. Do you understand the difference, friend? You can have more money, and that's what you ask for God, and God is going to tell you, silver and gold I don't have. But what he's going to give you is a security that you can have when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, of your eternal destiny. Even now, as you live through life, knowing that you have the most powerful, omnipotent person in the world, the God in the world, that's going to walk with you. And you can have security in that. The prosperity gospel tells you, you know what, you can have good looks. If you ask hard enough, you do this. But you know what the real gospel says? It's not about what other people think. Do you understand the good looks, the whole value of beauty is very subjective? You, the very pale, white skin that's highly valued in Asian culture here, when you go to United States, they think you're emancipated. You're like you are sick. You understand? And the nice, you know, golden glow that we love in the United States, come up here, they're like, oh, you're a duck, you know, ugly duckling, right? So this is very subjective, this whole beauty. But did you realize that if you accept the gospel, the God the Father, the creator of the universe, when he looks at you and he says, you are my unique creation, you are beautiful. Wow. What kind of confidence that can give you? That's the gospel. That God wants to give you this morning. Oh, forever young, we're talking about that. What about more possession, more things? But friends, when you accept the gospel, the gospel that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, shedding his blood for you, then you'll realize the value of a person. This is the reason why Jesus Christ came in the first place, because every single one of you is worth dying for. The kind of value that it puts on human beings, their eternal destiny, their relationship with God, their relationship with you. Maybe what we're seeking and hoping for is Mr. and Mrs. Right. But then you realize the gospel is offering here today is that when you and I, we truly embrace and feel and experience the love of God, that there's no longer a need to absolutely saying, I need a person to fulfill me. Because God's love has already fulfilled you first. Friends, maybe you're seeking the big promotions. Oh, just if I can climb up to be the vice president of my company, the senior engineers, to be whatever. But friends, you don't have to prove anything before God. Because God loves you regardless of your achievement. You can be the garbage person. You can be a garbage engineer, okay? You can be whatever roles that you're playing. But God's love is indiscriminate. It has nothing to do with achievement. It has nothing to do with your title. It has nothing to do with your place in the society. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And Jesus is here today to offer you that. Gold and silver, we don't have. But he wants to offer you the real, deeper healing that you're desperately seeking, the security that you're desperately longing, the confidence that you desperately need. You know what? Because if we really believe that, if we really believe that, because we'll find out, is that requires you and I to really confront the root of our problems. Because God's solution to our problem is going to be different. It's going to be outside of yourselves. It's going to be maybe drive you to look deeper into your issues. It's not a solution that is changing your circumstances. But that will require some courage, because many of us, we've been seeking, we have those our own solutions, because we don't want to look into ourselves and say we really do have problems. I have the security issues. I'm not confident because of my looks. I've been bullied when I was little. I'm trying to get the best grade possible, go to the best school possible, because I want to prove to people I'm worth of value, because I'm a girl in my family, and my family doesn't value girls. Whatever issue it was, it's painful a lot of times. For us to go back to it and say, wow, I need to address that. Maybe this morning, God is saying to you, you need to address that. And He wants to bring you healing at that issue, in that issue, with that issue. The gospel wants to do something to release you from that issue. Are you willing to confront that? Are you willing to have the courage to look deep inside of yourself and say, yes, Jesus, I need that healing. I invite you to heal my lame thing. I need that. I want that. Because you know what? If you do invite Him and Jesus comes into your life and change you from the very core, and you will be changed. And we see from this story in verse 9, the scripture says that all the people saw this lame beggar walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was a lame beggar that they seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And they all rushed out to Solomon's colonnade, where he was holding tightly to Peter and John. And everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful things that had happened. Peter saw this opportunity, and he started to address the crowd, and many thousands believed. Friends, if you have engaged and encountered Jesus in this real way, and you led Him, and God has transformed you and your real deeper issues, your story can tell God's glory. Do you believe that? Friends, there's something that we can try. Sometimes church do a lot of programs to teach you how to do evangelism, to tell other people about Jesus, to you know, the best way for people to know about Jesus Christ is that if you are a problem, have been dealt by God's grace. It's when your story tells God's glory. Friends, how much I long for our church, for each one of us, to receive God's amazing grace this morning. A surprising grace this morning. So that instead of us asking for money and gold, that you and I, we can get up and walk. Let's pray again. Father, we want to come before You, and we say we often are just seeking silver and gold. We think that is the solution to our lives. More nice things. Finding the right Mr. and Mrs. Right. But God, we confess there are deeper things that we need. God, we thank You because You are the kind of God that's so generous, that is so loving. That doesn't matter what kind of problem we have, how shameful it might be, how much hurt it has brought to our lives. God, this morning you want to bring total transformation and solution. But we need to embrace you. God, may you give us that courage this morning to say yes. May you grant us the courage to confront it and say, God, we do need healing in this area. May you give us the courage to surrender our own ways, the solutions that we have come up with ourselves, that we have been doing all this time, keeping ourselves busy, thinking that it will solve our problem. May your grace come upon us so our story can tell your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.